It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But Ducrell forgot one thing, it. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 3.8.
Telling off the Super Fantastic Warlords Association every time it gets its nominations for Best Sword incorrect, because we can.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Adam.
And obviously we're going to be talking about the Nebulas, which were announced, well, it'll be the night before last when this goes live, but for us it was last night.
Yes.
And I think it's fairly clear that Adam has many problems if you follow his Twitter feed, which is Sensa Wanda. I also have many problems, particularly since I actually went and read some of the stuff that won, and I have a few problems. So we're just going to talk about three of the things, because we don't care about novelette very much, or novella.
Well, we care, should. We just haven't read it yet. I mean, that's an interesting form. They're long, and you can only get a hold of them right before the nomination, like right after the nominations come out, so.
Yeah, I did try to read Rachel Swirsky's, and I got bored, so that's
kind of what I get from a lot of her stories.
The prose was really weak. There was almost no description in the first, like, five pages. I was very bored, but that's sort of beyond. So should we talk about the short story last, because I think that's the one you and I are both going to have the biggest issue with?
Yes.
Okay. Oh. Well, we'll start with the outstanding dramatic presentation, because that seems like maybe the least controversial.
The only highlight of the night.
Okay. Well, folks who didn't know, Inception 1 by Christopher Nolan. I expected this to win. I wanted it to win. So, I mean, what did you think? Were you pleased with that choice, Adam?
I actually saw a majority of the things this year, which was strange because normally I don't. I was very happy since Inception rocks all sorts of awesomeness. I was actually surprised because we were talking off air, and it almost seems like when something like that goes mainstream, and it is mainstream, it made hundreds of millions of dollars, that the genre community kind of likes to turn a cheek to it because they, I don't know, maybe they're jealous, but that's just because I can make as many people mad at me as I want. But you know what I mean.
I mean,
crossover people usually have some problems with our core community.
And, oh, sure. Sure. There's some, like, derision for people who cross over.
Yes, and we'll probably use derision many times tonight since that's the only adjective or verb. How did you use it? You used it as a verb. So yeah. the verb we will use all the time, because it's the only one in my head right now.
And just you know, how much Inception brought in? $292.5 million just domestic, $500 plus for foreign, for a total of $825 million worldwide. So that's big.
Yeah, that's like all of Africa. But that's not... I'm not that far off. I thought it was weird Despicable Me got nominated because I wanted to like that movie and it just was not very good. I've never seen any Doctor Who, so I can't attest to that.
Vincent and the Doctor, not as good as Inception. It's a good story, but it's not as good.
I loved How to Train Your Dragon. Just
me too.
Fun to watch all the time. Didn't see Scott Pilgrim or Toy Story. I've never really been a fan of Toy Story, though, so...
I didn't see Toy Story 3. Scott Pilgrim is okay, but definitely should not have won. So it just didn't. The reality is How to Train Your Dragon was good, but Inception, I think, is the one that seemed to have broken boundaries or seemed to have done what so many people love about genre, which is that it's sort of this estranging, massive thing.
And that's, I think, what these awards should, you know, award is something that pushes the boundaries, does it well, which is a very key thing, and tries to further the field.
And I would think that Inception in a lot of ways did that. I
Oh,
mean,
very much so.
it took ideas which have been done before to some extent and then dragged them to, you know, their most unfamiliar stretches, like to the edge of like where the line is, and then took a step over it, and that's where Inception is.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, even went into the abstract realm, which is something that Hollywood movies never, you know, never do. I mean, with the whole limbo, you know, like a wrench in the plot.
Yeah.
That is an abstract concept, and it worked, you know, and I think it worked well.
And the ambiguity of it was, I mean, that's something that it, like, I mean, I think if you take it this way, Inception is the movie that everybody was talking about. People were analyzing it, questioning. People wrote posts about what they thought what the ending meant, what this meant, what that meant. I mean, of all of the films on the list, this is the one that people could not shut up about.
Yep, and for good cause.
For good reason, yeah. And I think, hands down, Inception deserved to win, even just on that basis alone. Even if somebody didn't like Inception, the fact that the community was just couldn't shut up about this movie says so much about its influence.
I'm convinced it's impossible to dislike Inception, and that might be a weird oblique double negative, but if you don't like Inception, it's just because you're being snobbish.
Okay. So, all right, so let's talk about the novel category then. The winner of this was Blackout All Clear. They mixed two books together. I don't know why, but Connie Willis, I said that I thought that was going to be the one that took it.
You did. You did say that.
So
I can't
definitely
even remember.
Pulled it out.
Yeah, I can't even remember what I said. I haven't read any of them.
I think you said that you thought 100,000 Kingdoms would take it,
yeah,
but
I
that it would be very difficult.
It seemed like it kind of brought something new to the epic fantasy genre.
Yeah.
But it's weird because you got Who Fears Death, Shades of Milk and Honey, The 100,000 Kingdoms. They're all fantasy books. You know, I think The Nay of Star, I think, is a fantasy too. And Blackout and Echo are obviously science fiction. But you don't see that many fantasy books being nominated for Best Novel in the Nebulas. It's usually a science fiction field. But beyond that, what I've been talking to other people about is that Blackout and All Clear are two separate, like physically separate books that got nominated and won as one novel. And that made me, you know, think that they're setting a precedent where if you publish a trilogy within one calendar year, you can now nominate that trilogy.
The difference. There's a big difference here.
There is no difference.
No. The big difference is a trilogy is three separate books that are part of the same series that are written as three separate books. Blackout All Clear, from if I recall correctly from interviews with the author, was always intended to be one book and the publisher split it. So that, I mean, I can understand what you're saying about there being a precedence and that they could possibly jerry-rig it now. Like, oh, we'll include duologies and things that were two separate books. But I think if you think about it just in terms of how the book was written as it was meant to be one book and was split by the publisher, I think that does kind of change things. But, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, if you read, Rothfuss always said the King Killer Chronicles was one book that got split into three. If you published all three of those in one year, then that should ostensibly be able to be nominated as one book now. And trilogies, they are written for a reason. I mean, a series is a trilogy because it has a plot that goes from the beginning of the first book to the end of the last book. That is one coherent story.
Of course.
And that, I think, and so why could you, because Pyre, you know, does this like fast, you know, quick release with trilogies all the time. So, I mean, I think that because Blackout and All Clear, it doesn't matter how it was written or what it was intended to be, it's still two physically separate books. And that is what I think needs to be, you know, judged here. It's two separate books that got nominated as one book.
Well, I mean, I think I agree with you in principle. That if they probably should have either nominated both as separate entities or only nominated one of them. And I agree with you that in principle that probably should be what they should do. My hope is that the people who set all of this up, who do the nominations and choose the books, that they understand that Blackout All Clear is not the same as like a trilogy released in the same year. Because my understanding that these are two books that were split by the publisher. They were always meant to be one book. Whereas a trilogy are three separate books that are part of a major arc, but those books are each individual. They each have their own plot, or
so
supposed
like,
to be.
What about an omnibus then? Like an What if you publish an omnibus that's three books in one physical book? Can that now be accepted as one entity, or do you have to nominate an individual book within the omnibus?
I would have to see their rules to see whether the language makes that acceptable.
I can't find the rules anywhere. I want to look up the rules because I think that I know there's a minimum word count, but that's the only rule I know for novel is, I think, what, 40,000 words? 40 or 60,000 is
it's got to be more like 60, 50 to 60. 40 is really short.
It's really short, but I mean, if otherwise what I am saying has to be allowed, you know?
And I mean, would think that would be stupid unless it's an omnibus of books that were released that year.
I know, that's what it is.
Omnibus of books that were released that year, not an omnibus that was released this year, but for books that were released maybe decades before.
Yeah, but I'm still saying this is a precedent since it is still two physically separate books.
Okay, I mean, sure. I mean, I guess you could say that this could be abused.
Because this is best novel, not best novels. And if you publish it in two volumes, those are still two different novels.
Okay. No, I mean, I agree with you. I agree. This could very well be abused by whoever. I mean, Nebulas is judged, correct? Am I correct?
I think the
nomination's public and then there's a judging? I can't remember which one is public nomination, but judging and which one has all public nominations, because I get them confused.
Well, Hugo's are whoever goes to the convention gets to judge. Nebulas are voted on by members of CIFWA. They're both voted.
Neither
judged.
Well, that's really interesting. Then I really wonder how they chose to select those two as being one entity. Then,
but if someone listening could send us a copy of the rules, I would greatly appreciate it because I can't find them on the CIFWA blog or CIFWA website.
That may be something you don't get unless you become a member of CIFWA. So,
if the Nebula Awards keep going like this, I don't know if I'm ever going to join CIFWA.
Okay. All right. So, I think we're set on the novel now. So let's talk about the short story, which was a tie between How Interesting a Tiny Man by Harlan Ellison, which I did not have the time to read because they took it down right after the awards, which I'm very pissed about because I really would have liked to have read that to see how it matches up to the other tie winner, which is Ponies by Kiz Johnson, which you said was likely going to be the one that won.
I did say that. I actually predicted one correctly.
Yeah, and you got
unfortunately,
the half right.
Yeah.
Got the half right, because at least Harlan Ellison. But that's interesting, because you said Harlan Ellison's story was one that should also have... should win also. Or I don't know if you said should win, but certainly had the potential to win. So it's very interesting that the one you hated, Ponies, was in the top, in the tie, and one you liked very much was also up there.
Yeah, but I mean, it still wasn't... Okay, I liked all the stories way more than Ponies. I mean, I'm Alive, I Love You, I'll See You in Reno by Viler Kaftan was the first story in Lightspeed, I'm pretty sure. I read it, I thought it was completely mediocre, and it's still 100 times better than Ponies. The Green Book by Amel El-Motar, and I'm sorry, Miss El-Motar, if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, that is a gorgeous, gorgeous short story. I mean, she does Goblin Fruit or Stone Reading, not Stone Reading, a poetry magazine, and you can definitely see that. That's very, very good, and it's metafictional, so of course it has a place in my heart. Ghost of New York by Jennifer Pelland, I thought it had some flaws, but still not terrible. Conditional Love by Felicity Shoulders, again, flawed, not terrible, which is weird. I shouldn't be saying that for Nebula Awards. They should all be magnificent.
Sure.
But RVs by Amtrak Castro was magnificent. It was the best science fiction short story I probably read in 5 years.
I tried to read that one. I got bored.
Yeah, but you're fanty, so whatever.
No, you relinquish that.
I relinquish when I want to, and I take back what I want.
You can't.
RVs, no. It pushed the field forward, both in content and execution. I mean, it is... Ellison himself said it was a brilliant story, and you don't get Harlan Ellison, you know, coming out to say positive things that often.
No, this is true. I think RVs is better than Ponies by a lot.
Okay, I love RVs. I think it's everything new weird science fiction should be.
That's just kind totally of found it boring, strange. But...
Yeah, but you're wrong. How Interesting a Tiny Man by Harlan Ellison? I mean, it's classic Ellison, so of course it's amazing. But I thought that RVs did more for the genre, and that's, again, what I think the Nebula Award should award, is something that pushes the genre forward, try to keep us relevant, which, you know, is something that always comes into question, while, and also, you know, awarding how that's executed.
Yeah, but no,
Tony's is so bad.
I know. I read it last night, and I got to the end. I just want to make something clear. I tweeted this to you, but I know somebody's going to listen to this. A lot of people have been saying Ponies is an allegory for child bullying and peer pressure. That's actually incorrect. It can't be an allegory of that, because that's actually what it's about. That's not what an allegory is. It's barely even a metaphor. Barely.
I think, you know, metaphors usually have some element of subtlety to it.
Sure.
I almost hate this more than Spar. I really do.
I think because it hits you over the head with its message more than Spar did, whereas Spar was just didn't seem
gross.
To have a point.
It didn't, which is weird, because not many things can gross me out in fiction, but that was just yucky. But Ponies, I mean, even when I'm being preached about stuff I wholeheartedly and fervently care about, I can't read it, you know? And yes, while I agree, you know, peer pressure is wrong, I mean, it's not even a story. It's bad.
There's barely a plot in it. There's barely a plot. It's really just sort of a straightforward, basic plot. It's resolved very simplistically. It's completely predictable. You know exactly what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Before it happens.
And everyone's like saying it's disturbing because like the pony has like blood that smells like cotton candy or something or whatever.
What's disturbing about that? That sounds delicious.
How it was done made it seem comical. It was unintentionally comical is what it was. You know, these little girls tearing apart apparently like a My Little Pony unicorn doll thing.
Flying.
That happens to be able to talk. I think the talking aspect was what's supposed to make it creepy, but it wasn't creepy at all. I mean, it just was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
It was really, yeah, no, I didn't like it at all.
It hurt my heart to see that win.
But Tor.com published it and paid her 25 cents a word or whatever they pay now.
Okay, well, Tor.com is starting to publish really, really terrible stuff. I mean, I quit reading Tor.com regularly a while ago.
I can't think of any story I had from them that I thought was good. And yet I submitted something else to them, so.
Oh, 9 months to get back to you? Yeah, that's really good. They're very much for publicity of Tor books, Tor authors, and people who are crazy established. I mean, John Scalzi got, you know, 25 cents a word for putting up that April Fool's story, which is a whole nother bag of fish that we could talk about.
Yeah, no, I agree. No,
where we're getting our information, we're on the Publisher's Weekly blog, just because I think it has the best formatting for the nominees and the awards. But at the bottom of it, I don't know if you, did you read the comments by the author of Rose Fox of the Nebula Award post announced? She says that it bothered her because they had an opportunity to award up-and-comers, but they gave the awards to people who may have, like, it may be their last time winning the award. And I thought, I mean, well, one, that's just a terrible way ever to nominate. You never want to nominate for someone just because they're young or old. But also, I mean, it kind of hints at how political CIFWA really is.
Yeah.
I mean, above everything, CIFWA is a political organization. And I think when that is maybe what she's trying to get at, you know?
Yeah, but she got lambasted in the comments, it seems. Or maybe lambaste is the wrong word. But yeah, no, I mean, just to go back to the short story, like, Ponies...
I can't believe she won 2 years in a row for short stories that are under 3,000 words together, I think combined, probably.
Both of them mediocre.
That make me want to put my hand through a wall. And I feel like I've, you know, wasted, you know, 10 minutes of my life and 20 million brain cells reading.
I mean, I think the big problem is like, look, what does this say about our field? That these are the stories that are getting recognition, that Kish Johnson's last two stories are the stories that have received awards. I mean, to me, this is not saying anything good about our field, because I'm sorry, but if you show Ponies or a Spar to anybody who's not a genre reader and you say, look, this is the best we have to offer for 2011, they're going to read that and they're going to go, this is, pardon my French, but this is awful. This is mediocre. It's written horribly. It's pathetically bad.
Mediocre would be a blessing at this point.
Yeah, they would not. This would not be stuff that would get lavish praise from outside the field. And while that maybe Sifwood doesn't care about that, the fact of the matter is we should care about it because our genre needs that recognition. We have to constantly be feeding outside of our group to bring in more people into that field. Because the reality is not everybody starts reading fantasy. Right, a lot of people come to fantasy or science fiction. They come to it later in life, or yes. They come to it through like a gateway story. Like they read a story and they go, "Oh my gosh, I love that story," and they come into it. Like a lot of people started, you know, they read Asimov and they loved Asimov and they came to the story. Or some people maybe read William Gibson.
I read Douglas Adams. He's what got me into science fiction.
See, but these are stories that are now representing the genre. These are stories that are going to be in the Nebula Showcase. They're going to be stories that people are going to look at and they're going to go, is this serious? Like, we become hentai and really some sort of, like, ripoff from late night Comedy Central, whatever that show is. What the hell is that show that's on? The weird one with all of the, like, toys and stuff.
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch TV that much.
Can't remember the name of it. But it just sounds like that whole story feels like it's just a 3-minute skit on that show. Which would be funny on that show, but it would not be, it's not interesting in this context. And it's just, whatever. I read the story last night and I don't hate it as much as Spar, but I just thought, like, I don't think I'm going to ever read anything else by her until you tell me I have to.
You see, I will keep reading because I have never read a story by Kids Johnson I liked. I've only read a couple, you know, I've read 26 Monkeys and also The Abyss, which got nominated 2 years ago, might have won even, Spar and Ponies. I will keep reading, you know, because I'm not going to hold it against her. She's an artist. She's a writer.
Well, writer may be a little nice.
But I mean, if it's not her writing it that bothers me. She can write whatever she wants. I write crazy stuff that'll never get published. It's what they're publishing it. I mean, it's Clark's World and Tor.com. They're the ones who should be just, you know, disgusted with themselves. And I really don't care what that says about me. It's what's true. I mean, these stories do nothing but set our genre back.
Absolutely.
Genres.
Oh, I absolutely agree with these two stories. They definitely set us back, particularly because they got awards. It's not just
the
publication.
They are like anti-gateway stories. I mean, they make me not want to read short stories anymore, which is why I've been starting to read novels, you know, because I just don't want to deal with this, you know.
There's stories that aren't, it's not even the gateway issue. There's stories that would immediately turn anybody off, not because they're difficult stories, but because they're stories whose content is, in at least one of the cases, is vulgar and disgusting and seems to have no point. But that also the writing is facile. Maybe facile is a little rude, but the writing's not very good. The plotting is awful. The metaphors are just banging you over the head, or they're non-existent. There are no allegories. And then people just seem to want to apply, like, oh, these are talking about gender and whatever.
Yeah, I love challenging stories. How Interesting a Tiny Man is a challenging story. RVs is a challenging story. The Green Book is a challenging story.
Yeah, I read part of the Green Book. I was very fascinated by the structure of that one.
Oh, it's very interesting. I'd love to see more in that world. I mean, just for a couple flaws I saw in it that might not even be there. But I mean, it's just it takes a couple readings to sit in. But it's good. I mean, it is really good. I was surprised to see it nominated because it's really not what Sifwa normally nominates.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it's good to see Apex getting at least some recognition, because...
Well, they got Dark Faith up there, too, one of their anthologies was nominated.
That's good.
Oh, and I don't know if you remembered, but a while ago on my blog, I looked at Nebula trends, most notably how females have not dominated, but pretty much owned all to themselves the Nebulas for the past at least 10 years.
Sure.
This very much sticks with it. I mean, you have... three of the four fiction winners are women. Five of the six novel nominees are women. Four of the six short stories nominees are women. Half of the novelettes, and actually only two women in novella, but one of them was the winner. But I mean, you know what I mean. That always bothers me when you see, you know, like, gender fails, because if you look at the awards, it does not agree with with what other people are saying at all.
Sure. I mean, we need to see how this bears out for another 10 years to make sure it's not just
going back further. Yeah, it doesn't matter. A decade is too long for any trend.
Maybe, but if that also, I mean, let me put it this way. You and I disagree with like half of what's on this list anyway. But for what the Nebula Awards seem to like, maybe these are the writers who happen to be writing those things. And maybe in 10 years, that'll change. It'll switch. It'll be all dudes. And then, of course, we'll hear gender fail, because the second we suggest the gender fail in this case, we somehow become sexist or something. Oh,
I'm not even suggesting a gender fail this year, because, I mean, I looked at the stories I really loved, and almost all of them are by women, you know?
Well, it's good.
But it's just 1 year is fine. You know, I don't want it to be an artificial, you know, medium. I hate that more than anything, but it almost seems like because of the publicity of gender fail, we might be going in an opposite direction just because of our sensitivity to the subject.
You maybe could make that argument. That may be something we should talk about at maybe another time when we have more time to talk about it. But, definitely. You know, you could be definitely right that there could be an aspect of political correctness. We need to nominate so many women, because if we only have one woman on the entire list, we're going to get attacked. And that's absolutely true. The last 10 years have proven that. But we should say that, because I think we should definitely talk about that, like, at another time.
Also, we have to have, you know, reams of facts ready, because people will call us on anything if we talk about that.
Oh, sure. And they'll look for one little thing you get wrong, and they'll use that as the basis for throwing everything out, which is, you know, whatever. I mean, but
wrong.
Okay. So, instead of taking a break, why don't we just switch gears real quick? We're going to end the show out just really quick talking about what we're reading, writing, that kind of thing. Well, mostly just writing, because I've got crap that I'm doing, and I know you are now working on some crap. So what are you writing, Adam?
That's a good question. I'm writing a bunch of different things. You know, we decided this a while ago, but we're both going to try to tackle novels at some point this year, because I mean, you've written a novel. I've never written a novel. I've written too many short stories to remember. But I'm going to actually try to write a novel, because a lot of my short fiction is getting up to the 10K mark. And that's telling me that I'm starting to get the skills I need to write longer fiction. So I'm probably going to try to write a new weird space opera.
Yes, yes. Incorporating a bunch of stories you've written, some of them really freaking disturbing.
I think I even might incorporate my one pro sale pixelation, or not pixelate, resolution in there that has the pixelation technology. I think I could work that in very interestingly.
That would be very fun. Yeah, no, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be dark, though. I can just,
It's going to be dark. I have to have some sort of comedy to offset the dark, but yes, I mean, it's going to be dark. Space is dark. It's just how it is.
Almost bizarro dark. But except for bizarro is like so dark that it becomes comical in like a disturbing,
kind of offensive way.
Yeah. So
I'm not a fan of bizarro, but I like that people are writing it, because then I don't have to.
Some bizarro is good, but not all of it is very good.
Well, some of everything is good, but most of everything isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, so what I'm writing, as you mentioned, I've already written a novel, but that's old hat. I'm starting a new novel, which I may have mentioned before, is an epic fantasy called The Lands of the Alger. That's just a working title of the whole thing. I'm comically saying it's going to be 25 books long at 1,000 pages each. I'm sure it won't be, but it's amusing to say that, and it's very ambitious of me to say that, and then
But you write 20,000 word short stories, so it might not be that comical to say.
Possibly. Yeah, it's going to be, right now I have 5 POVs. I'm adding 3 more, and a lot of people are going to die.
Gosh, that's a lot of POV. I'm hoping for 3, and I'm hoping that my first try at a novel can reach 300 pages. That's my goal, is I can get 300 pages and at least three points of view and 2 main storylines.
Well,
starting
good.
Small.
That's good.
I think there's a dearth of... What does dearth mean? Like little amount or large amount? I can't remember.
I think so.
Little. I think it's little, isn't it?
I think so.
Okay, there's a dearth
scarcity or lack of something, yeah.
Yeah, scarcity. Not scarcity. That sounds new weird.
Scar City, yeah.
But, I mean, there's a dearth of more simple novels, not like simple in certain ways, but, I mean, if you look at Martin, there's 20-something plot lines and characters, and you look at all these other stories. So that's what I liked about The Quantum Thief. I mean, there's one viewpoint character, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there's two, I guess.
I want to, the way I described it to my girlfriend is this. I want to rope people in into loving characters, and then I want to destroy their hearts by killing them.
Yeah, that's... You call me twisted all the time, but I never do that. You know from the very beginning that my characters are never going to be happy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one project. And then I'm working on the, which has been on my blog lately, which you at least have an idea of. Is basically I got into a financial hole and been paying all this money for vet bills. And so I'm trying to do a creative fiction fantasy project, essentially, to make the ends meet, which will be done through Kickstarter, or at least that's the plan. And I haven't decided which project it's going to be. It's either going to be something sort of new, weirdy fantasy world, like fake histories and stuff, or it's going to be sort of humorous detective stories involving a cat. So, which is kind of cliche, but I really love Catnip Pete, so, which is not his real name. They just call him Catnip Pete for some reason. His real name's Pete, but not his first name isn't Catnip. It's just for some reason I like that. So, but... those are fun stories, but I haven't decided which one I'm going to do yet. So, but people will hear about that later. Yeah. I mean, Adam sounds suspiciously not interested, so we'll move on.
I haven't read Catnip Pete.
There's a very short story on, and then an unfinished short, longer short story, which is I think like 7K right now. But there's a very like short 300-word flash fiction piece, which is where it all started, was an SF Signal. John from SF Signal challenged me to write with these elements, and I did. And that's where Catnip Pete came from. So, and he reviewed it on his blog. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. Anyway, we're like rambling and going on and blah, blah, blah. So, all right. So any last thoughts, or should we close out the show?
We should close out the show. I can hear the mob banging at my door already.
Alrighty, so if you have thoughts or you want to tell Adam off, you can do that in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
skiffyandfanty@gmail.com.
Yep, you can leave a comment on our blog.
skiffyandfanty.wordpress.com.
Or send us a tweet.
@skiffyandfanty.
Yep, at twitter.com, all that good stuff. So
Also, I put up a Nebula Fail post for Nebula Fail 10 that goes off of Nebula Fail 9, which got a lot of views, and this one's already getting a lot of views. Got my, you know, traditional people who support mine, and still waiting for the ones who hate on me like something fierce.
Well, you're gonna get trolled by the certain troll.
I don't think so. I think he did enough last year and probably agrees. I mean, I don't know how you can like ponies. I asked people to explain to me why Spar was good. At least a couple people came up with answers. No one can come up with an answer for why ponies is good. No one.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to go to
another
rant.
Challenge, so. Like, challenge of the week. Explain to me why ponies is even halfway decent.
Maybe people will do that. You can email us, guys, or leave a comment or whatever. Tell us, why do you think ponies is good? So we'll leave it at that. So next week, which since I'm moving the episode that was supposed to go out on Monday, that'll be Torture Cinema, which is we watched Batman and Robin, and it's whatever. and we freaking hate all of you for picking that damn movie. I hate you people.
I haven't seen that since I was real little.
Don't watch it again. Don't. I swear. I'm not going to ruin it because I tell the story of what happened to me while I was watching it.
Is that the one with Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze?
Yeah, best thing about that movie, though?
Oh, that was a good one.
Okay, guys, all right, so that's the end of the show. We'll see you all next week.
Bye-bye.
Our new intro music is Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Just another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.